The following is offered by Discerning Hearts, a 501c3 nonprofit Catholic apostolate dedicated to spiritual formation through the use of new media. To download this selection, or to browse hundreds of other programs, or to contribute to our mission with a charitable donation which is fully tax deductible, visit our website at discerninghearts.com. What would you like to say to folks? Because they'll be concerned about you.
When I came into the emergency room here at the hospital, I was absolutely angry. And I was, you know, my life is being interrupted, you know. What is this that I have to, before some illness stop? Can't you just get this fixed right away? And it was just a very humbling thing as I saw myself fighting against something that was going to be good for me. I think I didn't realize just how really deeply in my spirit the spirit of not acceptance. You know, I preached. I'm always the perfect preacher to others that what happens you have to accept, and especially if it's an illness. And so, diverticulitis is something that so many people have had, and they suffered from, and I was suffering from this particular sickness right now, and my pain was very strong, and I had to come in and be treated. When the treatment that they were going to offer me took more time than I wanted it to, I was no longer in control. And so when I was introduced to being a stay at the hospital to be observed, I remember waking up early in the morning, and I do wake up early. And what I'd like to share is I do pray. And when I got crying out in the night through my calling to God, Father, it's not what happened to me that I am so rebellious. And a father was saying to me, you have been caught by a spirit of the world. You think that you're so great. That spirit is in you. You have an illusion that you're really not like the rest of every one of us. John, you're my son, but I want you to know that I love you, and I want you to know how near I am to you. And so when I cried out to the Father, it was so beautiful, because my whole room then, where I was in the hospital, became where he is always present. Wherever we find ourselves, God is there. And so if we wake up unexpectedly in an emergency room or in a hospital room for observation, God is waiting for you there. If this is where you were supposed to be, not only was he there, his angels were there. And through the marvels of a phone, I was able to contact the people that I had arranged to see for my retreats. And the one could arrive in now what was my consultation room, 9:30. I had my first retreat. And then the next one came at 10:30, knocking on the door. It's as if the angels were here. And I made an arrangement for the third one to come at 1 o'clock. I was amazed and surprised. At the same time, knocking at my door was another priest that I didn't know that I had. He was from New York. He drove in. He didn't know. He had knocked at my door at home. I wasn't there. He asked where I was. I was in the hospital, and they gave him the name of the hospital, and he came to the hospital, the room where I was, and as he came to the door, this other retreatant was there, and he said, I'll wait until you finish, but he said, by the way, have you had Mass today? And I said, no. He said, and do you know what this priest does? He cares for elderly priests who are sick and suffering. He said, how about if I have Mass with you today? I have all the equipment here that we need to have Mass. And so after my retreat, she asked if she could stay. He and I concelebrated Mass, the Mass of the day. It was so beautiful. And then I was able to preach at that little Mass and give him his little conference. And after she left, the retreatant left, I was able to counsel with him. When we are caught into where we don't want to be, it doesn't mean that God is not there. And God was giving me, my father was giving me a tremendous and wonderful teaching. I pray that for each and every those of us who are given the opportunity to preach God's word, that during this coming year, I was going to suggest to all different ones how to discern how we are to serve God's people in the community, that the gifts we have are to be put at the service of other people. What I would love, especially of fathers and mothers, and priests, and those who are in charge, who see themselves as apostles to bring the word of God to God's people. It should be the word of God that we bring. God so loves us. The divine love is so great. Two of the people that were here yesterday in their reflections were telling me what they heard from God. God loves the world. God loves 7 billion people. We who are preaching the word of God to teach that God loves every human being in this world. God has his arms around every single person. John, in his epistle today, helps us preach that word and teach that word. Fathers and mothers, God loves you, and God loves your children. Pastors, priests, bishops, rabbis, anyone who has picked up the word of God and is going to preach it. It's divine love that has brought God, who is our Father, to send his only begotten Son into the world 2017 years ago now, and as the 2018th year begins, to please teach that his arms are wrapped around the entire universe in love. And he has sent the very center of his love from heaven, who is his only begotten Son, to show us his love. If he could show us this love this way by sending us his Son, what is there more than that he could say? The word became flesh and dwelt among us. That the hand of God is like the hand of Jesus, as one of my retreatants told me yesterday, and that hand is pierced. And when she saw it, she wanted to see the face of God, and God showed her his hand. It's full of love and compassion, dying on the cross for love of us. That really is the word that is sent. John is teaching us today, and to preach the word in its broadest aspects of divine love. In those days, John writes, and John has his epistle, I am writing to you, children, because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. Who are those children? Everyone who can hear us today in this podcast, every single person, you are all God's children. I am writing to you, children, because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. God sent his son into the world, and Jesus died in the year 33 and rose from the dead and went back to heaven, where he is at his Father's right hand. They are so in love with us right now from their throne in heaven. They are so in touch with every single one of us, and they are speaking to us through this holy word. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. Who are you that I'm speaking to now? You fathers and mothers, you children, every single one who knows how much God loves us from the beginning. You know us from the beginning. This is to you that I'm writing. I am writing to you. I am writing to you, young men, because you have conquered the evil one. All flashing in front of me, young men all over the world that I know, you young people, young men and women, young focus workers and missionaries, young students in college, young people in high school, in grade school, you young people who are living virtuous lives, not only you who have sinned, but you who young men, because you have conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. Who are you? Every single person who is keeping God's commandments, every single person who wants to do every day and gets up in the morning and prays, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm writing, that's to you, he's writing. You who are keeping God's commandments, you who are living such virtuous lives, how beautiful you are. And now he's talking to us about how we are to conduct ourselves in this world. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What does that mean? As we are to discern how we are to preserve ourselves from the evils of this world, for all that is in the world. Now, these three things John points out: sensual lust, enticements for the eyes, and a pretentious life. Lust is something that all of us have to deal with at different times or other. There's an old Arabic proverb: sex is the temptation of the young. greed is the temptation of the old, and ambition is the temptation of the middle age. At different times, all of us can be hit at any time during our lives by all of these. What is that spirit of the world that we are talking about? I would ask each one who is listening to develop a kind of an exorcist eye. What is the spirit of the world? It's the spirit of evil. It's the spirit of the devil. It's the spirit of the evil one. Evil is a person. And how do we recognize? It's not that our bodies are sinful. Our temptations can be. And so in the Our Father, when God tells us to pray, he tells us, deliver us not into this temptation. Free us from this temptation, which will lead to death. And deliver us from the evil one. These temptations of the lust can lead to sin, and can lead to temptation, and can lead to death. Enticement of the eyes, they are so subtle. They are getting ahead of the Joneses. You know, when I'm here in the hospital, beautiful doctors come in and nurses in this particular hospital that I'm in. And I was in a hospital in an emergency room before this. And they aren't able to exchange knowledge from one place to another. What is that what's that spirit that keeps these very brilliant doctors and nurses and administrators so adolescent, so they can't communicate with one another? It's a spirit of the world. It's a spirit of, and it's the enticement of the eyes. It's so that one upmanship, one hospital trying to be better than another. Rather than cooperation, we have competition. And their competition so that they won't even exchange what they've learned from one another. How often does that happen, not only in our system of health care, but how often does it happen in our educational system? How often does it happen in politics? How often does it happen in every way of life? Competition that sets up instead of cooperation. Enticement of the eye is what John is talking about here. That, you know what enticement of the eye really is? It's pretending that we are somebody that we really aren't. It's lying to one another. The spirit of the world that runs the world as it is, is a spirit of not only competition and anger with each other, but a spirit of wishing each other ill instead of well, and pretentious life. There are lies. When Jesus came to describe the devil, he talked about him as a liar and the father of lies. If you contend, and if you constantly keep an eye of an exorcist, you will be aware of these three tendencies: lust, enticement of the eye, and a pretentious life. Lies, greed, money, and division. Dividedness is what is the spirit of the world is all about. It is not from the Father, these enticements of the flesh, these enticements of the eyes, these pretensions of life. These are not from the Father, but these are from the world. Yet the world and its enticements are passing away. But whoever does the will of God remains forever. As we come to the beginning of 2018, and we look back at this past year in our lives, how many of us, as we look in our rearview mirror, have failed to recognize the infinite love that is for us each and every day that God has for us? How precious you are as a person. And I really believe, like, even if you've been carried off into Satanism itself, this word came to me to say that there might be someone so lost, so thinking that I am, if you are a human being in this world, you are here because of God. God is with you. Wow. He is sustaining you. He made you. He loves you. There is nothing in you that God doesn't love. You are His creation. If you are a baptized person, and no matter where you have drifted to, God remains with you. That seal that is on you, a baptism, is the deepest reality of your entire life. God, who is the eternal God, will be with you and with me and with all of us. How much more will He be with those who know Him, who love Him, and who want to serve Him? What encouragement we would have, and we should have, at the beginning of 2018, to be so joyful, to be so happy that we're alive, that God has called us into being, that He has created us and has a purpose for every single one of us. And He wants us to be with Him for all eternity in love. He made us out of love. If you are, you are good. If you are and you're baptized, you are Jesus Himself, and you will never cease to be. And God is the one who made you, and God is the one who formed you into His own child and His image in Jesus Christ. Every single human being, the divine arms are around this entire globe of ours. God can convert this coming year into His own loving child, the president of North Korea, the head of the ISIS in the world. God loves everyone. And we, if we are true to who we are, we will love our enemies. We will love those who don't love us back. We will love those who love us. And we will continue to be that child that He made. It's so joyful for me, Chris, that you gave me this opportunity to speak from this hospital bed. To, you know, I feel like, remember the bear humbug of the Scrooge? Can I survive? I survived my ordeal and have come back to tell the truth about the love of God and how good He is.
Well, Monsignor, it's a real gift for us to be able to hear from you, too. And if you don't mind me asking, because you did share how angry you were that you didn't, you weren't able to do what you had planned and to accomplish the things that were, that you had set up. I say this with all due respect. You have spoken to us often about self-reliance. Is that something you might have experienced here? Is a gut check on self-reliance?
Definitely, definitely. And when I looked at that, and the next morning, I was in the hospital. When I looked at that and saw the truth of it, I said, "Where did that come from? You know, how did that? How subtle that is. How easy it is. All these good things that are happening: the return, the health, the opportunity to receive this, these remedies from the doctor, instead of having, as it could have been, maybe something worse from preventing something from happening, that God was so good to me. And if I relied on my self-reliance, leads me into all those negatives, anger, rejection, bitterness. And so God, in spite of myself, was being good to me."
So, Monsignor, for all of us who have, in a virtual way, through this podcast of yours, have entered into your hospital room to continue this retreat, what would you concretely have us do? What for that person that's listening right now, what do you want them to do in this point, in this retreat you're conducting?
I would suggest that each continue to take that time. This year, thank God, I had the time. I get up this morning and yesterday and today to take the time. It's amazing what the time will do if you just take that hour and pray. If you take that time each day to look over your horarium, to look over your schedule. What is it in that time and during that hour or time during the days that you haven't brought God into? What is there that you're going to do that you haven't asked God's opinion on? And what does he want you to do with such and such, or with this person or with that? And then to take the time to reflect and pray on, and be specific about a situation that's coming up in your life. How unreflective we are. And to also, I very strongly recommend that it be, to the extent you can, to cut out at least a half hour, and if it could be, an hour of silence and reflection on your schedule each day. Is what I'm doing really something that I talked over with God, and is it God's will? There's a quotation that comes from one of the saints. I think it's St. Bridget. Spend some time each day on that, because each day could be of the 2018 could be your final day. And what are you going to tell God after this life? You see, when you pray the Our Father and you say, "Thy will be done," what I would really like you to reflect on is that Father is someone you're going to meet. Now, you meet him today, and how loving he is, and how much he wants to engage you today. I would like to encourage you to get to know your Father more intimately each day, so that when you come to meet him in eternal love, he will be prepared to meet you, and you will be prepared to meet him. God bless.
You've been listening to Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this program, or to browse hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. But most of all, we pray that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com.